that those words that we're singing are true, God, that you have such an amazing love for us, that you would, like Dave said a minute ago when he was up here, that you would take our place, that you would offer a way, a means that we could be saved and that we could have relationship with you once again, even though we have made mistakes and sometimes we're not worthy, we're not righteous. But I pray that this morning as we talk through that, that you would help us to understand just a little bit more about what it looks like to have relationship with you and how we can communicate and interface with you, God. You're so great, and so we thank you for that this morning. And we ask these things in the strong and precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning. I'm obviously not Dave. For those of you who don't, or maybe new, my name is Ben Garner, and I have the incredible privilege of getting to be the worship pastor here. And also this morning, I have the incredible privilege of getting to bring the word to you guys this morning. So I'm very, very excited about that. And it's a great weekend to do it. It's 4th of July weekend. I hope you guys are all excited and ready for that. It's going to be good. I hope you've all got great plans planned out, be with your families. It should be a good time. Me and my wife are going to go tomorrow. We're going to head down to Pearland to be with our family and spend some time with them. My dad always cooks really good barbecue on 4th of July, so we're getting ready. As you can imagine, I'm probably very excited about that. So yeah, my name is Ben. I want to start us off with a really cool quote that I found this last week, and we're going to put it up on the screen so you can see it. R.C. Sproul, he once said that there is a difference between coming boldly into the presence of God and coming arrogantly. And Pastor Dave has actually been doing an incredible, incredible series. I've loved it, about coming into God's presence over the past couple weeks. And we've been talking about that as we've been in here. We've talked about coming into God's presence through prayer. And we've talked about the contents of our prayers. He's explored a little bit about what the order of a prayer should look like. You know, what do you put first? What do you do first when you pray? Where, you know, what is that? How does that look? And then he's even talked to us about how to pray for specific people. I know 2 weeks ago, I think it was, we talked about praying for the church. Or maybe that was last week. Last week. And then before that, it was how to pray for children, right? Or mentees, disciples, etc. But yeah, we've been talking about all these different ways that we pray. What does it look like? How do we order it? What is the structure? What is, like, you know, sometimes we're not really sure what prayer is supposed to look like. And so, to be honest with you guys, I struggled a lot when Dave asked me, hey, will you preach July 2nd? I said, sure. But I struggled with what I was going to talk about. And but about 2 weeks ago, a thought came to me. God gave me a topic that I thought would be, as a worship pastor, the best topic I could talk to you guys about. And that is preparing our hearts for prayer. And so the cool thing for me is, as a worship pastor, that's really one of my duties, you know, to the church body, to the church family, and anybody really that I lead in worship. My duty is to, that's kind of what I do, you know. I lead everybody into God's presence. How do we get from where we're at when we walk through the door to be able to get to a point where we can praise God, where we can worship God, where we can interface with Him, we can talk to Him? That's my job, you know, as a worship pastor. And so I hope that I can give that a little bit more to you guys as far as a message is done. So we're going to read a lot of scripture this morning. And, you know, hopefully you're okay with that because this is a church. And if you're not, then I don't know if you're in the right building this morning. So, but I do have a lot of scripture that I would like to cover this morning. So we're going to dive right in just a second. But let me be really clear from the start about what we're talking about this morning. This message is not so much about salvation, even though I'm going to be talking a lot about righteousness and what it looks like to be right with the Lord and, you know, pleasing in His sight and that sort of thing. But this message is really more for those of us in the room It's aimed towards those of us in the room that are already believers. So if you're not, that's okay. This is still great, great stuff to hear, and I'm really excited, and I hope that you hear what I say. And we'll talk a little bit more about the gospel and that in a minute, but really what I'm going to talk to you about is mostly towards those of us that are already in the room that are believers. So now that said, preparing our hearts for prayer. You know, how do we do that? What does that look like? I want to read a couple of verses for you right quick. And you don't have to worry too much about following along with me, because I'm really just interested in these specific verses that I'm going to read to you. We're interested in these right here for the kind of the theme that we're getting from them. So if you're fast enough and you're quick enough, by all means, follow along. But I was really good at Bible drills in Sunday school, and I can't go this fast. So just letting you know. So Proverbs 15:29 says that the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Psalm 34:17 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. And Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, then the Lord would not have listened. And then Isaiah 59:2 tells us, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Now, just at a glance, just those verses are pretty daunting things to hear, you know. I think about it this way. Best case scenario, if you take all those verses I just read, the best case scenario from that, if you were going to infer, you know, something from that, is that God doesn't like it when we come into his presence with an unrighteous heart. Would you agree with that? Now, the daunting part is that the worst case scenario is that God completely ignores the prayers of an unrighteous heart. That's scary. That makes me scared when I read that, because then I'm like, oh no. Do I have a righteous heart all the time? Am I good enough? I know God has saved me, but you know, sometimes I feel like my prayers are not heard. As a Christian, I'm sure everybody who's a Christian has felt that at some point or another. You're like, God, do you even hear my prayers right now? Are you even listening? And that's a hard thing to hear, to read those verses. Let me tell you guys a story really quick. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was in the Quest Bible Study, which is the one I normally go to if I'm able. So I went into Quest Bible Study, and Lee Fox was teaching us, and we were going through a lot of Old Testament passages for the time that I was in there. And we were talking about, or he was showing us how mankind in general is always, you know, trying to take something that is maybe promised but not at the right time, or he's just showing the sinfulness of man basically throughout Scripture. And so we get to we go through Genesis, Adam and Eve, the fall, Cain and Abel, murder, like all these different sins, all the ways that we're sinful, that man is not so much, you know, we want to be this good, perfect thing, but we're definitely messed up. You know, when you read these scriptures, you're just like, oh man, yep, there we go again, making mistakes. You know, God's promising us good things, but we can't handle that. We have to go and take whatever we want when we want it, right? Then he gets to Israel, and we start talking about Moses, and how Moses had anger against Israel because they were being disobedient, and God was promising. You look at the promise that God gave to Israel through Moses. That's an incredible promise. He says, you know, I'm going to bless the world through this nation, through Israel. And all you have to do is just trust that and accept and believe. And so he goes through this whole promise, and time again, every single time that God promises something good to man or to Israel, they take it and they just screw it up. You know what I'm talking about there? You know what? God, we're so hungry. We're so tired. Why can't you give us something to eat? And he's like, fine, I'll give you an unlimited supply of manna from heaven. How's that sound? And it says that the manna tasted good, actually. And so then what do they do after, you know, a little bit of that? They're like, this doesn't taste very good. I don't like it anymore. And they start whining and complaining. And then God's like, you know what? I'm going to give you this promised land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be great. I'm going to give it to you. And then what happens later, right? Why couldn't you have just left us in Egypt to die, God? Like, you're so mean. We're not happy out here. There's just wine. There's a bunch of whiny babies. You know, you think about, I'm sure a lot of you have kids. What do they do whenever they don't get what they want when they want it, right? Yeah. So that's Israel for you. And as I'm sitting in my chair listening to all these instances of Israel and mankind just whining and God's promising us so many good things and we're just whining about it. And I think it just occurred to me. I snapped. I got so angry. And I was like, why are these people in the Bible so dumb that they would, God is promised, like you see the promise 3 verses back, God promised them this, and now they're whining and complaining and sinning and screwing it up and having wickedness in their heart. They're worshiping other idols. They're worshiping cows. I don't know. Why? I don't get it. So anyways, I was really angry, and then something else happened, and God placed something in my heart that really began to hurt, and I had a realization, and I talked with Dave about this. I said, Dave, I realized in that moment, that's us. We're the exact same way. And God promises all these good things to us, and then we come and we just grumble and complain or turn away from the promises that he's given us and then go off to something else, something lesser. I'm sorry. That is us. Psalm 24 tells us that, David says this, he says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. There's really good news in this, you guys. There's really great news. And it's that God delights in hearing the prayers of his people. He takes joy in it. He likes to answer our prayers. And that's why in the Old Testament, you see that. But that in the Old Testament, God set up the system of sacrifice so that man could enter into his presence after being made pure, after being made righteous and holy. You may be saying right now, but man, that was the Old Testament. Like, we live in the New Testament. We live in the church age after Christ's burial and resurrection. So, like, once, you know, I already told you guys, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about salvation. And if you think that you still don't need forgiveness because that was the Old Testament, let me hit you with a couple more verses real fast. We got New Testament. It's all over the place. You can flip to these if you want to. 1 Peter 3:12. 1 Peter 3:12 tells us that for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And the next one is in James chapter 4, verse 8. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So I think it's pretty clear here that it's not just an Old Testament kind of thing. It's in the New Testament too. God really does not like an unrighteous heart to come before him. And so as we talk about this drawing near to God, how do we draw near to him? Well, that verse that we just read tells us. We draw near to God, you know, through this this way. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but through confession and through asking God for forgiveness. What I'm not telling you here this morning is that you have to confess every single sin that you make. God, I'm sorry that I slammed the door when I came home because I was mad. God, I'm sorry that I spoke in a tone to my wife that she didn't like, and we got upset at each other and got in a fight. God, I'm sorry that I yelled those words of anger while I was driving, and that person cut me off. And you can't, because obviously we sin so often that if we did that, you'd be praying for a long time, right? So that's not what I'm telling you. I'm not saying that you have to confess every single time that you make a mistake, or else you're going to end up in hell with all the non-believers, right? That's not what I'm saying. So, you know, obviously that's an extreme scenario, but that's what separates us from other schools of thought, other belief structures like Catholicism or, you know, such. So don't hear that from me this morning. I'm not telling you got to confess every single time, but we believe the opposite. You know, we believe that we don't have any right to come into God's presence on our own. No amount of confession that you could possibly do, no amount of asking for forgiveness could make you righteous or make you pure on your own accord. Hear that, you know. And it's actually quite the opposite. It's because of Jesus. It's because of the gospel. Because we were sinful, because God sent Jesus to take the penalty of our sins, which is death, and then die, and we can receive forgiveness of our sins. It's because of that that we are now able to come into God's presence with boldness and with humility, you know. So I know that sounds a little bit confusing. So what am I trying to tell everyone here this morning? I'm telling you that I don't think that God ignores our prayers when we make mistakes. I'm telling you that God takes great joy and delights in hearing our prayers when we come before him with a pure and righteous heart. Would you guys agree with that? Yeah. So how do we do that? Is the question. And the answer of that question is through confession, is what the scripture tells us. James 5:16 tells us, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then there's this second half of the verse that says, it's all verse 16, it says, because the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So he's talking about prayer there. He says, confess your sins and pray for one another that you can be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Then also, we're told in 1 John 1:9, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with this one, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what did we just read in all those verses a few minutes ago? We read that God hears the prayer of a righteous man, right? And he delights in that. So if that is what God delights in, and we are made that way through confession of our sins, then where do we go from there? What's the holdup? Why do we so often start off our prayers with, hey God, I need this, 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 and you go down your laundry list of things that you can think about that you might want or need? Why do we go before God and start asking things of him before we have told him, I'm sorry? I'm sorry for the kind of person that I am by nature. I'm sorry of all the things that I've done lately that maybe didn't please you. Why is it acceptable for us to do that only when we take communion and we take that moment before we take the bread and the juice and say, let me get my heart right with God before I do this? But when I pray, it's okay to not get my heart right before I pray. You know, why do we do that? I think it's because we just don't have a really great structure of prayer, and it's kind of confusing. That's why we're doing this series. That's what we're trying to help with. And I'm not perfect, you guys. Dave's not perfect. We don't always start off every single prayer that way. We don't ask for forgiveness. Sometimes, you know, we panic and we go into a crisis mode and we call out to the Lord. That's biblical. That's not wrong, but if you really want to have a great prayer time and you really want to experience the fullness that God has for you, the fullness that he's promised to us in our relationship with him, which we know communication to God happens through prayer, right? If we really want to experience that fullness and experience that life-givingness that we can have through our relationship with God, this is a great way to start. Start off your prayer with that, you know? Instead of, hey God, how's it going? I want this, this, and this. Thanks. Thanks for being cool. Thanks for being awesome. Thanks for being great. I love you. Okay, I'm going to go do my thing. Start off your prayer with, God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that you've already forgiven me because you promised that to me in your word. And I love you, and I'm so thankful that you sent your son to die for me. Also, I would like to pray for this, 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 and this. And God, you're powerful and you're wonderful. And even if those things that I ask for don't happen, you're still God, you're still in control, and you're still the most powerful being that exists. And you will get glory regardless of what happens. If we prayed like that every time we prayed, man, that would change lives. That would be incredible. I think that David, the psalmist in the scriptures, provides us with a really great example of how that's done. And so I would love for you guys to turn there with me to Psalm 57, and we will take a look at this together. David was such a great songwriter. And a lot of his songs, if you look at them, they're almost kind of tailored like a prayer, you know? And I love that as a musician. And when I write songs, sometimes they come out in like song form, and sometimes they come out in prayer form, and it's weird, and I don't really understand how that happens, but this is a really neat one. This is a cool one. Psalm 57. Just like I read that quote at the beginning, I think David is really a pro at coming before the Lord, both in humility and being bold at the same time in what he is asking from God. He says in verse 1, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by." So right there, right off the bat, David starts off his prayer by asking for mercy. He knows that the Lord is the only one who's capable of forgiving him. No one else can forgive sins. He also knows that the Lord is the only one that he can find comfort in, right? And that he can find forgiveness in God as well. And so he starts off his prayer that way. He says, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I'm in need of it. And then he goes on in verse 2 and he says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. And God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. I love this part too. I think what's happening right here is he's proclaiming the Lord's power. He's saying that God has a plan and God has a purpose. And no one and nothing can stand in the way of that purpose. You guys believe that? Yeah? A lot of times we like to throw out these fun little verses like Jeremiah 29:11, and, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope in the future. So that's another message for another day, but you get the idea. God has a plan and he has a purpose. Especially, which we're going to see here in a minute, especially when we align our hearts with God's will, when we start off our prayer with that, hey God, you know, I need mercy, I need forgiveness. So he wants to fulfill a plan and a purpose that he has, and nothing can stand in the way of that. So continuing on there, it says, my soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts. The children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows and whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They have set a net for my steps, and my soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. That is amazing. That is so amazing. David, right here, he's asking for the Lord's protection from the enemy. And I think this is really cool. David is literally, when he wrote this psalm, he's literally out in the desert hiding from people that are trying to kill him. A literal enemy is coming after him. They want him dead. And he says, he asks for protection from this enemy, right? And in the same exact way, we have an enemy, right? That wants nothing more than for us to fall into sin and temptation and be fall into that pit of temptation and sin. And he wants to kill our relationship with our Father that we have. David, he's got people that want to take his life. And we've got an enemy that wants to take away our relationship with our Father. He would like nothing more than for you to fall into sin and be the furthest from God that you could possibly be. That you would not call out to God for protection, that you would not call out to God for forgiveness, that you would not call out to God for any of these things that we're talking about. That's what Satan wants for you. But I would encourage you guys with this morning and say that if part of your prayer is to say, God, protect me from the enemy who wants that so badly and so desperately, that he would dig a pit to entrap me and ensnare me in that, protect me from that, God. Because at the end there, it says that they have fallen into the pit themselves. And we know, if we read the rest of the Bible, right, that at the end of time, when the time's done, Satan's going to fall into his own trap that he's dug for himself. He's through. It's going to be over. It's already said and done, basically. Like, you know, that's the cool thing. So that's an encouragement for you guys. Incorporate that into your prayers. And then finally, he finishes with, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. So finally, we get down to this end part, and David says, he declares God's glory. He does this throughout the entire psalm, but I think what's happening here at the end, when he places this very specifically at the end, he's saying, like we talked about a minute ago, God, no matter what happens, even if I die out here in the desert, your plan is always going to come to fruition. You are great, and you will receive an endless amount of glory. You're good. No matter what happens, I trust in you. So when you end your prayers with that, man, it takes a lot of faith to pray a prayer like that. But I think that the more that you begin to pray that way, and the more that that is an expression of your heart, you know, that's just going to be changing for you, life-changing. In a minute here, we are going to have an opportunity to come before the Lord with humility and also boldness. I would encourage each of you guys in the room this morning to model this time that we're going to have after what we just talked about, to use the time. The song that we're going to sing is talking about that very thing. It's talking about, you know, we are the way that we are, but God promises us forgiveness at all times. He promises that if we come before him and we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just. He'll forgive us. And I think that sometimes we have that hold up. It's like some kind of pride that's buried inside of us that says, oh, well, I don't need to ask for forgiveness because I'm already forgiven. And I think that's so dangerous. We got to be really careful about that. That's not what we're seeing here. We've got to let go of that, and it's really difficult to do. It's hard to admit when you're wrong. Men, guys, it's hard to admit when you're wrong, right? Even ladies, I get it. I'm married. It's hard to admit when you're wrong, especially when you want to be the one that's right because your husband's like always right, you know, whenever he... I'm just kidding. But here's the deal. We got to take that that seed of pride that's inside of us, and you got to let go of it. We got to respond to God in humility before we can come to him in boldness. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing this song together, and I would encourage you guys to model this time of response after what we've just heard. Model it like that. Come before God. Use this song. It talks about asking for forgiveness, coming before the Lord. Do it in humility and do it in boldness. Let's pray. God, thank you that you have made a way for us. You're so sovereign and you're so good, and you, in your infinite wisdom, you made a way for us to be forgiven. And you made a way for us to communicate with you. And even though sometimes we are so prone to wander, like that one hymn, Come Thou Fount, talks about, we're prone to wander from you and wander far. But you still will forgive us every single time we wander from you. And you promise us in Scripture that all we have to do is ask. And so we thank you for that. And this morning, God, I know I can't speak for every heart in the room, but I ask you for forgiveness. I'm faulty. I'm messed up. I make mistakes constantly. And so would you forgive me this morning? And forgive every one of us who feels the same way. And would you allow us to have a life that is abundant and free and healthy and full, just like you promised us in your word. Help us to have that today. Help us to experience you as we go out through this week and begin to put that into practice, that we can always come before you and prepare our hearts to pray and to meet with you and to have an expectancy that good things will happen because we know that we're pure and we're righteous before you. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who makes it all possible. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.